Brother Sparks singing for us tonight, and that's a wonderful song, The Old Ship of Zion. And I want to ask that you pray for Brother Davis. Now, he's an able preacher. He can preach without the help of the Lord, but it's a lot better with the Lord helping him. It is. And I know that from experience. But I want him to have liberty tonight. I want him to preach whatever the Lord lays on his heart. The Lord knows what we need. And that's what we want, is what the Lord has for us tonight. So come on, Brother Davis, and make yourself at home.
Bless you. Love you.
Love you too.
It's good to be here tonight. Good to see each and every one that's come out. I hope you've had a good day. It's been a good day in the Lord. You know, as I get older, every day really is a good day. Some just a little better than others. But, you know, as we get older in life, we appreciate our health and strength and the love and mercy of the Lord and the ability to get up and go about our daily chores and our Lord's work. And I'm just thankful that the Lord allows us to do that, you know. I've said many times the Lord don't have to have me or you, but it pleases him that he does have us and that we can be a little part of his work. I do want to say I appreciate Brother Moran calling me. He called me and he told me best I call his cell number back, and I tried that. Sometimes, you know, they don't work as well as we hope they did. But anyway, I called and left a message on his home phone, and it's good to be here tonight, and we do appreciate an opportunity to preach. And I want to say I appreciate Brother Carl, Edie. Carl's and Edie's become close friends of ours. We live close, but we've had a lot of experiences together in the Lord. But Carl is a brother, if you know him like I do. When he goes to the house of the Lord, he goes to help. He takes his tools with him. He can preach and he can sing, and usually has in his pocket, Carl, you don't mind me saying this, he usually keeps in his pocket his little song book. And it's kind of, you can tell he uses it a lot because the pages are pretty worn out, you know. But that's the way we should do. We ought to take our tools to the house of the Lord and wherever, even if we're visiting, and if we can help out in some way, whether it's praying or singing or testifying or whatever it might be, that we can be a little useful in parts of the Lord's work. Appreciate your pastor. You know, he mentioned we have a lot in common. We do, and I'm so thankful that, you know, we have people to talk to that have experiences like we've had. And we all don't have same experiences, but we have similar ones. And it's always good to share our thoughts together. And I do appreciate you know, the messages he's preached, and especially the meeting my son was saved in, being Brent. He didn't tell it that year. He told it later, but he dated back to that. So we never know what really takes place in a service. You know, lots of times God's working undercover. Not he's not deceiving or trying to, you know, but he works in the heart of things we can't see. And he does more than a lot of times we know at the time. But it's good to be here. We'd ask you to pray for us and ask God to help us. We have a little scripture to read tonight. Don't feel like we'd be lengthy in preaching, but there are just some few thoughts the Lord has laid upon our heart and mind to preach about tonight. And I'd like to begin our reading in the book of Matthew, the 9th chapter. And a little passage there of just what Jesus was doing. I'm thankful that we have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You know, many, those four apostles, they saw similar accounts of what Jesus was doing and how he was healing the sick and allowing the blind to see and the lame to walk and so on. But each of them used a little different wording and explanation of what they saw. But it is not to take away from the meaning. They just, you know, like we do, we whenever we tell our experience, we use the words and the thoughts that expresses what we felt in our heart. Beginning with verse 1, and he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer. Thy sin be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on the earth to forgive sin, then said he to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go into thy house. And he arose and departed to his house. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. As Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I'm not come to call the righteous, but sinner to repentance. I want to turn over here in the 11th chapter of the book of Matthew and read just three verses, beginning with verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, for our thought tonight would be, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, you know, we read there early from the previous chapter, of the ninth chapter of the book of Matthew, about a man that was sick of the palsy. In other words, he couldn't walk, had some impairment that disallowed him to move about or to be mobile, so he had to have someone to carry him and from place to place. And we find there was another man that he was a seated custom. His name was Matthew. He wasn't sick, but the Lord just asked him to come and follow me. And so he stopped what he was doing and followed the Lord. But in all the cases, the invitation was to do something, you know. And when the Lord speaks to our heart and our soul, I know we can apply this to sinners. We can apply it to us as saved people after we get saved and we begin our journey. And God calls us to service. In my case, the call to preach. Your case may be a gift to sing or a gift to pray or a gift to exhort or maybe teach Sunday school or just be a neighbor or friend or someone that opposes the Lord and whatever. But, you know, the message is Jesus said, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And we know that by experience, after we get saved, the Lord didn't save us to sit on the seat of do nothing, but there's work to do and there's labor to do. And we are fully acquainted with that if we try it on our own, we'll fail. the Word of God won't have free course. But you know, the Lord will help us. Brother Moran mentioned that I could preach, I could make a speech about the Bible, and it all be true and fitting and in place. But you know, for me to really preach the Word of God and it lodge in someone's heart, God will have to help me do that. God will have to prepare the heart for the reception of the Word, and then He'll have to prepare me to listen to the Lord and follow what He lays on my heart so it can all come together. And you know the amazing part about that, that God works on both ends, but He don't tell us about it aforetime. Many, many times when we preach the Word or we sing a song or we pray a prayer or we go to the Lord with some kind of health issue or whatever the case may be, we don't fully understand what God's going to do about it. We ask Him, and we're commanded to ask and seek, and ye shall find, knock, and He shall open unto us. And we don't really know exactly how the Lord's all going to work it out, but we know if we do our part in trusting and coming to the Lord and yoking up with Him. You know, that's the next verse that I want to talk about a little bit here. You know, when we yoke up with the Lord, you know, yoke is, I would think of a yoke as some kind of a binding agent or some kind of a binding tool that will help too. You know, used to in farming industry, why they had not only horses and teams and mules, but they would have oxen that they would use, and instead of putting a harness on the ox, they put a yoke on them and team them up, you know, as they would match them according to size and the ability to pull and so forth. And in some cases, they would yoke up a young one with an older one to teach them how to work and how to pull and how to get under the load. And you know, the Lord wants us in whatever we're doing to yoke up with Him. And you know, that's what makes it so special, is to yoke up with the Lord. And to realize that we can't pull the load alone. It's too big for me. It's too big for you. It's too big for Brother Moran to pull the load of the church by himself. But you know, when we yoke up together and we just use the abilities that God gives us, He'll be there to help us. And He'll be there to help us pull. And He'll be there when the going gets tough. And you know, when the rejoicing time comes, when somebody gets saved, somebody is healed, somebody gets a blessing, we can rejoice together. Well, you know how it is when you get around, you know, a good table of food, and you eat and you drink whatever there is, and you're hungry or you're thirsty, you get your drink of water, how good it tastes and how good it feels to be filled. And so what I'm preaching tonight here, Jesus was telling this man that was sick of the palsy. As he came, he realized and knew that he needed him help, but the man didn't come there alone. There was somebody carrying him. He couldn't make it by himself. Those people that carried him, yoked up with him, and brought him to the Lord. You know, that's where we are as God's people. We're not Savior, but we can yoke up together with the Lord and take sinners to the cross where they can find peace to their soul. I'm glad that when I came along and I realized I was lost and away from the Lord, but I'm glad there was a church and people that loved me. I'm glad I had parents that took me to church. And you know, when I got under conviction, got in trouble, well, they didn't run off and leave me, but they prayed for me. They took me to the cross or to the threshold of the cross. You know, each of us, we've got to go through the door. And you know, that's the way it is after we get saved, to get a blessing from the Lord. We've got to go through that door. And sometimes, and many times, in fact, I'm going to say most every time, we have to have the Lord to help us, you know, to yoke up with Him, and that we can get to the place that we can receive a blessing. This man there, he was raised to walk. He simply just said to him, now, I suppose that he saw his heart or understood his heart and saw his attitude, and instead of saying to him, saying to get down on your knees, and pray. Evidently, the man must have already been praying in trouble and been searching for whatever time. But instead of doing that, Jesus said, son, be of good cheer. Thy sins are forgiven. That's a little unusual way for the Lord to express it. But you know, when you think about your personal experience with the Lord, we tell our experience about getting saved and how it was, the time, the place, and all of that. But every one of us tells a little something different. But it's still salvation. It satisfies the heart. We came to the Lord and we were searching. This man was searching. The people that were carrying him, they were searching for help and a solution to his impairment. But, you know, the Pharisees, they were looking and watching, and they were really fascinated somewhat, and they began to say, well, this man is blaspheming. Jesus, knowing their thoughts, he said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? Well, is it easier for me to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sin, then saith he to the sick of the apostles, arise, take up thy bed, and go into thy house. In other words, the message, the healing there to the man that was sick of the palsy was the same either way, you know, regardless of how he said it. But it was a faith. The faith that the man and those that carried him. You see, Jesus looks at the faith of the church. You know, when we have lost children and we have lost grandchildren or lost in our church or our friends and loved ones, maybe in the workplace, God, when we bring them to the Lord and ask God to save them, you know, God is watching and he's looking not only at their faith and their actions, but he's watching ours too. And he wants us to guide him in the right direction. And when we do, you know, the Lord's there. I'm so glad that when we yoke up with him, he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. You know, the rest that God gives is an eternal rest. You think about when you got saved, it was a rest from that burden that you had at Brother Mike at the time. But you know, it didn't go away at the end of that day. It didn't last a week or a month or so, but you know, there was a lasting effect of that we still feel even in the day that we live here tonight. And for many of us, it's been many years, but it lasts. Why is it? Because we took our burden to the Lord. And we left it with him, and we was willing to trust him with all of our heart. And then after that, you know, the Lord moves on our heart. And there's been times in my life that I know the Lord just moved on my heart and lifted the burden and gave me strength that I didn't know I'd have. And it's true in your life. God's still in the saving business. He's still in the healing business. He wants us to bring our burdens to the Lord and cast our care on him. You know, in our church over at Beach Grove, we had one of our deacons that had the COVID disease, COVID-19, and he was in the hospital and real critical. You know, I was troubled about him, and the church was, and other people. And I'm sure that you knew about Brother Troy Deckard and the thought he was going to move, pass on. We were on Joan and I was on the way to church. And I called her to see how things were going. And Ellen says, well, I'm going to the hospital here in Bowling Green. And on the way that morning, and she said, the doctors tell us that they've done all they can do, and so it was time to unhook the life support, and he might last 45 minutes, maybe 24 hours at the most. And anyway, they did that, and as time progressed, and Wednesday, he's still living. No food, no water. He was still breathing on his own. And she says to the doctor, says, well, you know, if we don't feed him, he's going to starve. Let's get some food to him. And they begin to feed him and get him going. The next day, he was setting up. And you know, the Lord is still performing miracles. You know, I'm thankful for the good doctor. We have a good doctor over here, Dr. Mike, and he's done a lot of work, and nurses and people that do health care. I'm so grateful for those people. God blesses them. He gives them talent to do their job just like he does me to preach. It's all in the Lord's work, you see. But after he revived and began to talk and began to move and about, and he's back at church with us. Had him do the devotional the other Sunday, and he talked about it and was happy, and he had an experience back many years ago. I didn't know about it till I was visiting in his home, and Brother Troy said, you know, several years ago, he was a barber. And that's his profession, and he's retired now. But he said, you know, it got to bother me for about 4 years went on that God's going to call me to preach. And he said, I didn't feel like he had, but I felt like he's going to. And he said, I just kept worrying and praying about it. And he said, it just kept troubling me. He said, if the Lord wanted me to, he said, I'd want to try, but I was dreading the thought of it, you know. Well, I did too, Brother Moran, Brother Carl, you know, after God called me, I wondered what it looked like, what it'd feel like to preach. You know, that's just the human side of it. But anyway, Brother Troy said, in the chair I was sitting in that evening, as he told me, he said, right in that chair, I was putting my shoes on. And God spoke to him and said, Troy, I'm not going to call you to preach, but you're going to work for me. And he said, that just settled it. Said, that fear went away. And so, you know, when he told his experience about his illness, he said, I guess God still wants me to work for him. But you know, the Lord, he's understanding. He knows how to do things. He knows how to handle me. He knows how to handle you. He knows how to lead us to get the best of us. God wants the best of me. He wants your best. He deserves it, don't he? He deserves our very best. But anyway, Brother Troy's back with us, and he's, you know, just, I really am glad to see him there. You know, he testifies, and, you know, he helps teach. And so I'm thankful this morning for everyone that will put your trust in the Lord. And I don't know whether there's anyone here tonight that's troubled or you feel down and out, downtrodden. You know, I've felt that before. And I'll feel it again at some point in time. You just kind of feel like you're struggling along. But you know that if we'll cast our care upon the Lord and we yoke up with him and we begin to pull in the direction that the Lord wants us to, he's a present help in the time of need. He went on to say this. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and I'm lowly. You know, God's not some being out there that's so far up there that we can't reach him. And he's not so far down that we can't see him. But he's meek and he's lowly. He's understanding. He knows my heart. He knows your heart. He knows if we think we can do without him, he knows if we're going to depend on him. And when we depend on him and we put our faith in him and we trust him with all of our heart, you know, that's the bottom line of getting saved is when we can turn it over to him. I've told sinners over the years, if you're searching for the Lord, I can't tell you how close or how far. I've seen sinners at the altar, I'm sure you have, praying, and they was just really seemed like down there just at the moment they're going to make it. And that night they didn't. The next night they didn't. And then I've seen the time when they just, everything was still. And all of a sudden, God just spoke peace to the soul. It's still the Lord. God's in control. You see, he's meek and he's lowly. He comes to us in a still, quiet way. You know, I've heard people and seen people at the altar that got saved, and maybe you did, maybe you shouted. I saw a person one time laugh. Rejoice. For me, it just come in a still, quiet way. I was bowed praying. All of a sudden, I was on my feet in a flash. And I wondered, well, where'd that heaviness go? It's gone. I felt light. I felt like I could almost fly to the house. I just, you know, just felt good in my soul. But when we come to the Lord and lean on Him, I think about the disciples. You know, here Jesus got on a ship, and a lot of times He'd get on a ship and He'd teach from the ship. And then, you know, at the end of the day, He would resort and go to the mountains and have a little talk with the Lord. Finish the day, and sometime He'd go in the morning. You know, that's, I told Joan this morning, I was studying. And sometime I come in, I'm tired and I study and I don't really feel like I'm doing the Lord quite right. You ever feel that way? Been studying and maybe tired and weary. But then I think, Lord, if I'll study in the morning when I'm fresh and, you know, alert and beginning of the day. And I think He's pleased with that. I think He wants our very best. But, you know, there's times that the Lord would be out with His disciples. And I remember a time in one of the four Gospels, and they was out on the sea, and the storm come up. Jesus was taking a nap. And the storm come up, and it was boisterous. They couldn't control the ship. They woke Jesus. And so He just got up, and He said, "Peace be still. Even the waves and winds obey His voice." You know, that's the reason I'm not so concerned about climate change. I know who's in charge, don't you? He's in charge. The waves and winds obey His voice. You know, our meteorologists, they study the cold fronts and the warm fronts and the lows and the highs and the movements and so on. But really, who's in control of all that is God. The waves and winds obey His voice. And you know, He knows how to clean something up. He can send the rain, clean the atmosphere up. And you know, sometime if a land or a soil gets polluted, well, He'll have some type of vegetation growing a little time. You know, it'll clean it up and get it back to where it needs to be. I'm just glad I know Him. I'm glad we've got someone to lean on and somebody to trust. Even the waves and winds obey His voice. And then I see Brother Peter there in the book of John. You know, he just decides he wants to go fishing. And he goes and he asks his buddies. He says, "Well, why don't you go with me?" And they did. They went out and they fished all night. And you know how the story goes. And there after fishing all night, not having a catch. And if you're a fisherman, you know it's disappointing to go out on the lake and fish and spend time and not catch anything. Isn't that right, Brother Carl? But then sometimes you go out and you cast. And you know it's just as fast as you can bait your hook and throw in. But anyway, this night, the Bible said that they'd fished all night and hadn't caught anything. And here comes the Lord. He said, "Children, have you any meat?" They said, "No, we fished all night. Hadn't caught a thing." Jesus said, "Cast your net on the right side. Cast your net on the right side." You know, that's why it's so important that we consider the Lord as somebody that we've got to have along the journey to make it work, to make whatever He gives us to do. And they had a great catch, and you know how the story goes, and Peter saw it was the Lord, and he wasn't dressed like he should have been, and so he grabs his fisher's coat, and he just jumps in the water, and he was embarrassed. You know, sometime if we're not as close to the Lord as we need to be, or we not maybe not spiritually dressed as we need to be, it kind of catches us off guard, and we feel kind of out of place. I've been that way before. I've been a few times in life that I met somebody and felt like I needed to mention the Lord to them, and just kind of didn't know hardly how to go about it. But you know, there's been other times that I leaned on Him. I've got a friend over around Austin, Kentucky, Ricky White. Some of you may know him, but several years ago when I was pastor there, his wife and his two children came. They got saved, and Ricky was the dad, and he come to the baptizing, come a service or two, but never had really told me or others where he was with the Lord. And anyway, it was a few years after that, not many, and I was old Gamaliel. And I was at the restaurant, met Ricky there, and he says, "Come on in, preacher, I'll buy you lunch today." And the Lord said, "Here's your time to talk to him about the Lord." Well, I went in and we got our meal and sat down at the table, and I thought, well, Lord, I don't want to take advantage of this man. He's asked to buy my lunch. And I feel like I've been wanting to talk to him about the Lord for some time, and seemed like the timing just in other words, we hadn't yoked up just right. And I sat there and I thought, well, if I ask him what I feel like I need to, he might not buy my lunch. I didn't know how you'd take it, you see. You don't know. But anyway, I said, Rick, we had been about half through the meal, and I said, Rick, I need to talk to you, something real personal. He said, what is it? I said, I need to talk to you about the Lord. I said, your children are saved over at Caney Fort, and your wife come there, and you've come a few times, but you've never told me anything about your relationship with the Lord. He said, preacher, I knew you was going to ask that. You know, I'd disappoint him if I kept it hid, you know. And he told me his experience. As far as I know, the first time he'd told anybody, he told me his experience, and I said, well, what are you going to do with it? And he said, well, I guess I'll just tell my experience and join the church. And that's what she's going to tell me. I said, yes, exactly. You know, when we get saved, we need to do something with it. We need to yoke up with the Lord real soon and follow the Lord in scriptural baptism and find our church home and pick up and begin to work for the Lord. God has something for everybody to do. But I'm just thankful. In closing tonight, that I know the Lord and I've been able to yoke up with him. And I've been able to yoke up with people that also know the Lord. And teamwork gets a lot of work done. You can take, I tell the boys on the farm, you know, there's some things you can kind of do by yourself. But if you go out to put up a fence, it's pretty hard to fence by yourself. You can walk yourself from one end to the other trying to get it done. And there's something that you need help doing. I mean, absolutely, you need somebody to help you. And that's the way it is in the Lord's work. There's some things that you need the Lord to help along the journey. And God will strengthen us. He'll give us the leadership that we need. He'll provide, you know, somebody to be there. I know Brother Wayne back there, you know, we've had experiences together, and I've asked him to go with me and help me. We was there at Antioch, and he and Becky, and got real close. And I'm thankful, Brother Wayne, for those yoking up times that we've had in the Lord. I'm thankful that God knows how to put us together. You know, my dad used to have work stock, and he knew, you know, to team them up to get them work. He knew which two to put together. Now, I never did learn much about that. I always liked the tractor a little better than the teamwork, but he knew how to match them up, and God does that. He knows how to match us up. He knows our strength and our weaknesses. So may God bless you. I don't know if you're here tonight and you're lost and away from the Lord. Maybe no one here lost, but if you are, you need to yoke up with the Lord. You need to come to him. And you know, I've said this many, many times, he'll meet us more than halfway. We may think that we're going further, but the Lord, he'll meet us more than halfway. May God bless you is our prayer. I wonder if there's a word on anyone's heart, anything you feel led of the Lord.